As we've been reporting all morning, the military leader of the Taliban, Mullah Abdul Baradar, has been captured. He's reportedly under interrogation in the 10 days since U.S. and Pakistani intelligence forces nabbed him in Karachi. Baradar was taken alive, but on many occasions, President Obama and members of his administration have boasted not just of capturing, but of killing terrorists. Here's Vice President Joe Biden this Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press with another way of saying it.
We're pursuing that war with a vigor like it's never been seen before. We've eliminated 12 of their top 20 people. We have taken out 100 of their associates.
Eliminating terror suspects, taking them out. That's part of a new policy, a strategy from the Obama administration. We're going to take a closer look at this with Kenneth Anderson. He's a member of the Hoover Task Force on National Security and Law, and he's also a law professor at American University. Also joining us is Michael Hurley. He's a senior counsel on the 9/11 Commission and director of the Commission's counterterrorism policy. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Kenneth, let's start with you. You're an expert in things such as international human rights and terrorism. And in terms of this strat, it appears to be a concerted strategy to, as the vice president described, take out members of the Taliban or Al-Qaeda. Is that common as a policy of administration? And is it legal?
Well, in the first place, I guess it. Start by saying that this is a lawful policy. That is, the ability to target lawful targets out there among the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, or frankly among other terrorist groups that might exist out there, has really never been questioned as a legal matter, stretching back not just to the last two administrations, the Obama administration and the Bush administration, but it goes back to Clinton and the basic idea of being able to target terrorists wherever they might be located, if the state where they have taken safe haven will not do anything about them or even gives them shelter. That's a principle that the U.S. Government has always taken seriously and goes back many, many decades. So the lawfulness of this is not really, in my mind, at issue. And so then the real question is, as a strategic and as a tactic and as a method of going about counterterrorism, is this a good way to do it? In my mind, it is, and I congratulate the Obama administration for having picked up a tactic that of going on offense that the Bush administration had initiated, but the Obama administration has really made it its signature policy. This is, from my standpoint at least, a really good thing to be doing, and it's something that they've embraced and something that they've really made their own. I know that there is a lot of criticism of it, but I certainly think that the lawfulness of it is not really an issue.
Okay, Michael Hurley.
And that it's effective.
Michael Hurley, let's direct the next question to you, because you're one of the lead coordinators on the Operation Anaconda. That was the largest military campaign against Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan so far. Can you tell us a little bit about the choice between killing versus capture? To what extent is that left in the hand of military commanders on the ground? And what goes into this decision on whether to kill or whether to capture?
Commanders on the ground have more freedom in places like Afghanistan and somewhat in Pakistan, actually not so much on the ground, but from the air. A lot goes into the decisions, actually. Washington is directly involved in terms of targeting the individuals who are considered the most lethal. Ideally, you would try to capture such people for the intelligence value that they might have and be able to offer. But we don't always have the ideal situation, and I think it's important for listeners to know that this is not Hollywood. It's not a movie. Equipment breaks down. Any operation that you mount poses some really serious risks. It's probably somewhat easier to kill someone from a distance than to mount a very, very complicated capture operation that poses significant difficulties. And therefore, there's always a calculation that's made as to what's the best action to take.
And is that based on what you just described in terms of the difficulty and the possible danger in trying to capture them? Or sometimes it's made on what kind of intelligence they may have. Perhaps in the case of Baradar, it was just considered that he was a valuable enough target to take the risks.
all that is factored in. It is the intelligence value. It's the risk that's posed. Those factors are paramount in determining which of the possible options to take. In Baradar's case, I think it was fairly easy, given his importance. He was the number two in the Afghan Taliban, military commander. Also, his location appears to have been where the capture took place, in Karachi. You wouldn't use certain operations there. It would have to be very, very clandestine and very, very well orchestrated in a population center like Karachi of 15 million people.
Okay, Kenneth Anderson, you're a member of the Hoover Institution Task Force on National Security and Law. So let me ask you about the legal implications once someone has been captured. Baradar is in Pakistani custody, and they are interrogating him. But when we capture him, we know that there's a lot of complications legally on how we detain them and what we do with them.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons that we find it much more convenient to have him in Pakistani hands than in our own hands, that one of the oddities is that we've created an incentive structure at this point in which we don't have any really good options for aggressive interrogation and for extracting information and all the rest. And frankly, the Pakistanis do. Now, that may be a legal issue even for us. And certainly if we had them in our hands, it would be a legal issue for us. And so one of the peculiarities about this that the Washington Post had picked up in their story was that there is, to some degree, not in this particular case that we're now looking at this morning, but to some degree, there's a greater incentive to wind up killing people than capturing them, because we don't have good ways to hold them, and we don't have ways to be able to interrogate them without raising a lot of legal questions.
Kenneth Anderson, a member of the Hoover Institution Task Force on National Security and Law, and he's at the American University. We also spoke to Michael Hurley, senior counsel on the 9/11 Commission and director of the Commission's counterterrorism policy.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.